Live from the 2016 Good Food Festival and Conference at the UIC Forum in Chicago, it's the Mike Novak Show on Q4 Radio. Today, a subset of W.C. Turk's Helter Skelter Show. If you want to figure out how that works, get a big sheet of construction paper and a crayon, and we'll do a Venn diagram. Meanwhile, just try to keep up with the song.
Good planets, hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, and true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand. Clean beaches and sparkling sand.
Well, I'm standing in a vermicomposting bin, and the red wigglers are tickling my toes. This cannot possibly end well. So I suggest we get to the program. Here I am, Mike Novak. And Mr. Turk, are you there?
I am there, Mike. You sound great. How you doing, buddy?
The place is jumping, and we're outside of the main area where... there are vendors, there's food, there's products, there's Patrick Berry is with me from Chicago Farm Report. What am I missing? What else is there, Patrick?
Food.
Well, it is the Good Food Festival, right?
And food pitches. There are people pitching everything out there. It's great to listen to them.
Yeah. So, Mr. Turk, I know that you... Well, first of all, I want to thank you because you are giving me this airtime to broadcast the Mike Novak Show live on a special Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in place, pretty much, of the Helter Skelter Show. And I am very grateful to you, sir.
Well, I mean, this is what we do on the Helter Skelter Show anyways, is we try to bring really good, strong topics to the air, and I can't think of anything that's more in keeping with that philosophy that we do on Helter Skelter than sharing it with your program and all the things you do to speak about the environment and gardening, Mike. So this is really just an extension of what we do. So thank you.
Well, and I also know that you you had some intro stuff planned, so I have to give you that opportunity. I have to do it because you had a bunch of one-liners that you were going to throw in there at the top of the show, and then I messed that up by
creating my own
intro to the show.
and I didn't know which way to go, so I went all kinds of directions. And just to give you an idea, we started out with this. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and when I'm not plowed out of my mind on ginkgo biloba, I'm secretly taking notes from the Mike Novak Show. So that was we went that direction. Then we went with the completely absurd. Like my father always said, if your hands were where your ears are, we'd keep our wallets under our hats. My dad was a little crazy, but the best advice he ever gave me was always listen to the Mike Novak Show.
Oh, dear.
We went thematic as well.
There's got to be a rim shot with that one, I think, right?
we went thematic a little bit here with green, the national colors of the Mike Novak Show. I went this way for your great book, Attack of the Killer Asparagus. Asparagus is healthy until it attacks. Keep America safe from the attack of the killer asparagus. Vote for Mike Novak.
And I am running, of course. I want to be not the third party candidate or the fourth or the fifth. I want to be the 10th party candidate.
There you go.
So I want all the wasted votes to come my way.
Well, we have a green party in the country. You would be the deep green party.
But, you know, Jill Stein would not appreciate that because she's a perennial runner for president.
And Jill's been on the show in the past, and Jill is a wonderful, wonderful lady. So,
yeah.
With a great sense of humor.
I have not had a chance to interview her, and I really want to. So we'll have to. You will help me set that up. Okay?
We'll work that out. Absolutely. We also went with this on the political side because that's what we do here in Helter Skelter. If Al Gore and Hillary Clinton had a baby that was adopted by Bernie Sanders, .. or they say rainbows end in a pot of gold, except for the green part. That ends at Mike Novak.
Well, all I will say is that we want folks to come down. And part of the reason we're doing this live today is to encourage folks listening on Q4 right now. And if you're listening, I hope some of you are streaming it on the TuneIn app, which is now a big deal. Yes. We get to give us a ding for the TuneIn app there. There we go.
That was the beer ding, by the way.
The beer, I figured it was. You usually go for the beer ding. You can get...
the beer ding sounds like it's had a few.
It does. It's a little slow. it's slurring its dings a little bit. But you can come down to Roosevelt and Halstead, and it's only $10. And you are going to get education galore. You are going to get food. But it's not just that. There's also educational seminars. There are chef demos here today. In fact, if I go to I don't know whether to go to the website here, because that's probably the easiest way to do it. I've got that on my computer here. And today is the there we are, the Good Food Festival. There's chefs at play. There's things you can make. There's how to preserve. There's how to grow. There's a whole series of growing seminars here involving people like my friend LaManda Joy from the Peterson Garden Project, etc. There's composting stuff. There's raising, as in bees, as in goats, as in chickens, as in quails. There's a seminar at 12:30 today. Keeping Japanese quails at home. I bet that's not something that's ever occurred to you, has it, Mr. Turk? Are you there? Oh, did you go away?
No, I'm right here, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, playing with some technical stuff.
I thought you nodded off there as I started talking about raising Japanese quails.
No, not at all.
And we've got on my list today, just so folks know what I'll be talking about and to whom I'll be talking. As soon as I stop with you, I'm going to talk to Patrick Berry, who's standing right here very, very patiently.
Oh, great.
Bob Benenson is the communications manager with Family Farmed, and Family Farmed is the outfit that puts this whole event together, and it's 3 days of it, and I'll talk to Patrick about that in a second. Then we're going to have Liz Fiorenza from Wind Ridge Herb Farm, if you're interested in herbs. Mm-hmm. Alex DeSorbo Quinn, who's the executive director of Pilot Light, which is about teaching kids in schools about food, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah Crum, around noon, who's with Kombucha Camp, author of The Big Book of Kombucha.
Wow.
Are you a fan of that there, Bill?
My wife is. My wife has actually made it before, however that occurs. She's one of those people. I'm particularly interested in the herbs, because that's a substantial portion of our garden every year.
Yeah. David Miller from Iroquois Valley Farms will be here. That's about investing. You know, the investing world has to get involved in organic growing, and they have been doing that for a number of years now. Jen Miller from Sand Hill Family Farms is standing right here as well, because I didn't know who's going to show up and who's going to be around, and I said, you might need to fill. We might need to fill, and if we need to fill, she's here. Give me 2 seconds on Sand Hill Family Farms, Jen.
Sure. We are a local organic farm based in Grays Lake, Illinois, and we have a partner farm in Broadhead, Wisconsin. The two farming families work together to produce local organic products for our CSA program, and we serve about 600 CSA members all throughout the Chicagoland area.
Give us the website.
SandhillFamilyFarms.com. We just introduced home delivery, so there's a lot of options available.
And she'll be back later to go into more detail. Louis Zapp of Zapp's Dancing Grains. And I just love the name of it. And he has a great story to tell. And he'll be in the second hour. All right, Mr. Turk, I hope you stand by. I know you got stuff to do.
I'm actually talking with the news team here. So, you know, the political discussions continue unabated on air and off air, my friend. But in the meantime, have a wonderful show.
Okay. Thank you very much. Again, it's the Mike Novak Show, sort of preempting the Helter Skelter Show, and again, thanks to W.C. Turk for that. And standing right next to me is Patrick Berry, who I found out about just this year because I got wind of something called Chicago Farm Report. Now, that's not your father's Chicago Farm Report. That would have been Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong at Gargantua Radio down the dial. But you tell me what Chicago Farm Report is and the genesis of this.
Well, I've been following development of the urban farms in Chicago and the regional farms over the last 5 years or so, and I kept thinking as a journalist, this is an enormous story. There's something happening that I'm sure people would like to learn more about. And so I finally this year bit the bullet and started ChicagoFarmReport.com, which is a website, and we have Facebook and Twitter feeds. And
I think I first saw you on became aware of you because of Facebook or somebody. I think I know what it was. I think it was Advocates for Urban Agriculture. You or somebody else sent out a notice and said, "Hey, I'm starting this thing," and I thought immediately, "Ooh, this is something I want on my show."
And that was Advocates for Urban Agriculture has a great listserv. So when you put something out on that listserv, a lot of people see it. 2,000 people, I heard, are on that subscription.
It's amazing how people respond to that. In fact, folks who should go, well, just Google Advocates for Urban Agriculture, and you can get their website and everything. It's easy to join and get on the listserv. And then what happens is often they send out stuff that about it, everything having to do with food in Chicago, and sometimes it's compost information or food, like at the Good Food Festival information, just seminars, workshops, everything imaginable goes through that listserv. So you're a reporter by trade, right?
I'm a reporter and writer by trade for 30 years.
And what kind of stuff have you reported on?
Well, I've covered urban issues for most of that time and city stuff. But I've also always been interested in gardening and farming. And lately, it's just become more and more compelling story. And that the timing is right, because this is something that this industry is just exploding in terms of growth right now. Local food farming and food processing that is using local food.
Well, and you come by it honestly, because I've been to your place and you got a little setup in your own backyard. Well, I have to tell you that Patrick sent me an email of his growing backyard. And to be sure, it was from what, last year or the year before?
It was from last year,
right? From last year, and it was set up and everything was in full flower, and I was impressed. In fact, I was humbled by the setup.
Well, I was out there this morning brushing the ice off of the plastic, but everything that's growing out there is still growing, even though it froze. It was below freezing last night. We have a ton of stuff in the ground already.
You've got some hoop.
Little hoop houses and
cold frames.
Plastic.
And you're ahead of me already, because I've been meaning to do that, and I keep saying, well, tomorrow I'll get to it.
And this gives me all the more appreciation for what the real farmers are doing, because I'm doing little 12-foot rows, and they're doing 100-foot rows or 5 acres or 300 acres, and that is just an enormous job. And there's so much there's a lot of science involved, a lot of intuition, and, of course, a lot of luck as well in terms of the weather.
But you bring up a really good point. Your livelihood does not depend on the food that you grow in your backyard.
Correct.
But that's the case for some people.
I couldn't be a farmer. It would just kill me, the weather in particular.
Yeah, stuff you have no control over. And, I was talking to Beth Botts on my program last week, and we were talking about growing stuff, but also ornamentals and how the weather changes from year to year. And you just never know exactly what you're going to get. Here we are in a warmish winter, although, as you said, it got cold last night, and it may get cold again. I mean, it's not even April, in Chicago.
April 20th is the frost date. What they say is the frost date for Chicago. So we got to stay alert until then.
I think it's later than that.
Well, depending on where you are. We're near the lake, so usually April 20th.
Oh, I see what you mean. You're taking yours right near the lake, because generally for the area, from what I understand, it's like the
middle of May. It's like the 15th or so to be absolutely certain that you're not going to get a frost date. And even then, you still need to look at the weather.
And for the hot weather crops, you don't put those in until late May, even early June.
I'm a June 1st guy. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, what, there's tomatoes and whatever else. I mean, yeah, you can have them in your cold frame or your greenhouse or your basement or your windowsill. But as for putting them outside, I'm a firm believer that just wait till June 1st. Getting back, though, Chicago Farm Report, give the website again.
ChicagoFarmReport.com.
You can go there. I saw that you had already posted. You've been here at the Good Food Festival, and you posted about the at least the first day, the first couple of days?
About day one. Day one was all about money, and they were pitching. Some of the farmers and farm or food companies were here trying to raise money. Others were talking about how they've made money, and a lot of them were talking about how hard it is to make money.
Yeah, I would think. And that's why they do it. And that's what's so impressive about the organization Family Farmed and Good Food Festival is that they spend the first 2 days talking about money and policy, the kinds of stuff that you don't think about when you're putting seeds down in your backyard, but that do affect you.
Yeah. Yesterday they were talking about the compost, the city composting ordinance, which is just gone through recently, but could make a big difference if we start to get some real composting going at the community gardens and then ultimately commercial composting.
Actually, I had a small hand in helping develop that policy for working with Jen Walling at the Illinois Environmental Council and with Billy Burdett at Advocates for Urban Agriculture. And I was on the small committee and did a small amount of work on that. But those are important things. Those are what change urban growers' lives.
Yes.
In an important way.
People are excited about that in part because they said right now the community gardens often have to bring in compost from elsewhere because they can't make it themselves.
Yeah.
Now they'll be allowed to make it themselves.
Well, I think we should at this point because I need to bring in Bob Benenson, who's kind of hovering here, and that's good. I'm glad he's sticking around. Let's make our official announcement. I wish I had a drum roll, but Patrick Berry, Chicago Farm Report, is going to be part of the Mike Novak Show in the future.
And that's going to be a great opportunity to talk about what we're learning as we learn it and share it with your listeners.
And I think it's terrific because I can't keep track of everything. There's so much that goes on here in the city. So I want you to do it for me. You will be making semi-regular visits to the show. Are we starting the 3rd?
We're starting the 3rd.
Yeah, yep. So that's next week.
Yep.
A week from tomorrow.
Yep.
Patrick will be on the show. Come down to the Opulent Studios of Q4. He will give his first Chicago Farm Report. What can people expect to hear?
I think I'll be talking about the farmers that I talked to here over the last couple of days. There's a tremendous diversity of niches that they're exploiting. They're all looking at different things that they have found make their farm viable. And I think that's a topic people would be interested in.
Patrick, it's great to have you on board. I'm so glad that I found somebody who can help me lift the load.
I'm happy to lift it with you.
Okay. I'm going to come over and see stuff growing in your yard. Again, thank you so much. I'm actually shaking his hand here on the radio. You guys can't see it, but maybe in stereo you could. All right.
Patrick, thank you, Mike.
Patrick Berry from Chicago Farm Report. I found this is the mic. This is the one's causing a little noise. Wow. So I'm going to use this mic. Bob Benenson is here. I'm going to give you this mic because this is the one making noise, and I've just figured that out. So
thanks, Mike, because I pop my peas naturally, so we don't need any
actually,
microphone.
You do need to hold it just a little bit okay, closer. Bob okay, Benenson good. Is the communications manager for Family Farmed, and Family Farmed is the outfit that has put this event together. And all I have to say is congratulations once again.
Thanks. This is our big baby. This is the big event of the year for Family Farmed. It's a 3-day event. It's a policy conference. It's a business conference. And then today we open up the doors to the general public and thousands of people just like us are here and enjoying it and meeting farmers and meeting food businesses and sampling their products and participating in farm and chef demonstrations. We just had Rick Bayless of Frontera Grill.
Who did one. You just did that, huh?
We just did one, and we have Paul Kahn of one-off hospitality group, the Publican, Blackbird, Avec, all that whole range of restaurants. He's going to receive our Good Food Chef of the Year award at noon. So come on down. You've got time to come down to the UIC Forum.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say. You said we're live. We're on Q4 Radio, 1680 AM. And for folks listening, whether you're listening on your computer or on the TuneIn app or somewhere else, there's still plenty of time to come because this goes till
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And for $10, come on, you come in here for an hour, and that's well worth
it. It really is. That's what amazed me. I've been working with Family Farm for a few years, and this isn't my first Good Food Festival. But you know, I take a step back and I take in the scene, and I said, "This is really an accomplishment." This organization, which has been around for about 20 years, promoting the good food movement. We define good food as food produced as locally as possible by sustainable, humane, and fair methods. It started out small. It gets bigger every year, and it brings together all elements of this movement.
When do you get to the point as an organization when you realize you're no longer the little guy? Are you there yet?
We're constantly striving, and if we doubled our attendance every year, we'd still be striving because there's so much work to be done. There's been great progress on providing a healthier, tastier, more economically, environmentally sustainable food system, but we got a long way to go. Probably 10% of the entire U.S. food system today is still good food. So we, you know, but the consumer demand is there. It's evident in this room next to us, where there are thousands of people who are learning and being inspired, and they're having fun. But no, we're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. We're not going to be satisfied until that 10% goes to 25% and 50%, because it's important. There's so many important consequences here, and I think that because of the growth of interest in good food, people understand that there are good health consequences, and they understand that there are good environmental consequences. But I'm not sure that there's a really strong, broad understanding that there are powerful economic consequences of this. Building local economies, building communities, creating a sustainable economy in urban and rural areas, and reviving underserved, underprivileged communities, both in the cities like Chicago and in rural areas that have really suffered economically over the last 20 and 30 years, is this is the engine that could create that. And that's what Family Farm does, and that's its niche. We work with farm entrepreneurs, and we work with food entrepreneurs to help them succeed, to help them scale up, and to help increase the supply of good food, and also to bring new young farmers into the business, because I just turned 60 last November. That's about the average age of farmers in America.
I know.
So it's not just the good food movement or the organic food movement, but it's all of our food system. If we want to have a reliable, secure food supply in this country, we need to get more young people on the farm. And that's one of the things that Family Farm does. We train farmers, as well as working with people in the business sector.
And you're talking about the business, and later I'm going to have Dave Miller here from Iroquois Valley Farms. You know, and he represents the financial sector of this, and how do we bring money into the organic movement? And this is what this guy has been doing for like 8 years now.
Well, let me get personal here, because uh-oh, Iroquois, my wife's family farm was the fourth farm that Iroquois Valley Farms bought. It's in Piatone, Illinois.
Wow.
And we were one of their first clients. So, yes, I agree exactly with what you said. We're satisfied customers. But, you know, what was really rewarding about that is that Barb's dad was like so many farmers in that part of Illinois, East Central Illinois, corn, soybeans, commodity crops, farming conventionally. So when we had been living in Washington, D.C., when we moved out here, and one of our big missions was to sell the farm because their dad passed away in 2008, to be able to connect with an organization like Iroquois Valley Farms that isn't buying farmland to build houses. It's not buying farmland to build warehouses. It's buying farmland to keep it as farmland, keep it in cultivation, even as close to the city as a place like Piatone, which is just outside the south suburbs, and to rent it out to family farmers, most of whom are millennials, most of them are the young farmers that we were talking about, who convert that land to organic cultivation. That is so rewarding to somebody like me who has an interest in the good food movement. It's really walking the walk.
That's amazing. And it just must have put you on cloud nine just to be able to do that.
It was very rewarding.
Because I imagine you were sitting there thinking, what's going to happen to this land?
Oh, I know. It could have been anything. I mean, yeah. A few years earlier, because, I mean, we inherited the land during the recession. Nobody was buying anything. But that whole area, a lot of farmland was being built for development. Barford development, I should say.
But getting back to the idea, you know, are you big? Are you small? You've got the attention of people like Chase Bank and Cranes,
exactly,
and Whole Foods. Well, now Whole Foods, that makes sense, but still,
Whole Foods
a large,
has been with this event since the very beginning,
right? And then it goes down. And by the way, I have to say here, I'm proud to be a media sponsor of the event.
Thank you for that, Mike. We appreciate your support.
I'm happy to do it, and I love coming here, and I love the energy of especially Saturday. And I know I am a policy guy. But I love what happens here on Saturday when you open the doors and people pay $10 and they come in and they get to be exposed. A lot of people exposed to stuff they've never seen before.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, what is at the core of the good food movement? Small farmers, medium-sized farmers, entrepreneurs, people taking risks to create products that people want, people who are real stewards of the land. We're growing food while protecting the environmental sustainability and building soil health all across this region. Nothing about that is bad. Nothing about that is political or ideological. It's just a good thing, and we're proud to be one of the people who are really pushing this movement forward and promoting it.
Well, it does become political at some point.
Everything becomes political.
I know.
At some point.
You know, especially when you know. Last week, Jim Salama was on my show. And we got to talking just very briefly about the GMO law that did not make it through the Senate.
Yes.
And that was a big surprise, I think, to some people.
It was a relief. You know, we believe in transparency more than anything else. Not to get involved in the scientific debate about GMOs. That could take all
day.
Right.
And the thing that's it's really complex because a lot of scientists will tell you, scientists line up on the side for GMOs. There's no evidence that they harm people. And it's one of those, is this good science? Is it bad science? But what the law is about is transparency.
That's exactly it. People's right to know what's in their food.
Yeah.
So that's why that was such a big victory. But it's symbolic because a few years ago, that wouldn't have happened. The influence of the conventional food producers, because they're the big money companies. That's where most of our food comes from today. Congress would have been only responsive to that. We're seeing it, and we saw it in the 2014 Farm Bill as well, where there was pushback against efforts to cut government support for organic farmers, for new farmers, for beginning farmers, for the Farmers Market Promotion Program. And that was blocked. And not only were those programs protected, but they were increased. So that was a signal that legislators, and don't forget this is a Republican-controlled Congress, so it's a lot of conservative lawmakers, that their constituents, they respond to their constituents, because their constituents and consumers are voters too.
Yeah.
And so they're hearing from their people, and they're hearing from their farmers, and they're hearing from their business community that this deserves support. And you're starting to see that reflected in votes in Congress, and that is important. But we have to stay vigilant. We have to keep working at it because, you know, right now we have a beachhead, and you can lose that overnight.
Absolutely. It all there's always – blowback. There's always pushback on any progress
right.
that's made. I could go on forever talking
to
you about, yeah,
I
know, you know, and here's that we're going to do this. You need to come on my show where we have an hour and we can just wax poetic on stuff.
That'd be great.
Because I know you got all, because I'm fascinated by the idea, you know, the traditional, the conventional, I'm using air quotes here, way of farming. Folks say that's the only way to feed the world. And the organic people say that's the only way to feed the world. And so there's got to be a truth in there someplace. We need to figure it out.
There is. And you know, we're aware, and it's just a practical reality that this is going to happen incrementally. We're not going to wave a magic wand and change the world overnight, because there are a lot of people who are used to doing things a certain way, and there are vested interests who are not about to, who are interested in protecting the status quo. So we keep working at it, try and persuade people, introduce consumers and policymakers and buyers and farmers to this way of producing food, and continue to grow it gradually, and then hopefully it'll reach that inflection point where instead of growing a little bit at a time, it grows a lot at a time, because it can happen.
Well, Bob Benenson is with Family Farmed. You can find Family Farmed at familyfarmed.org.
Mm-hmm.
They are the people behind the Good Food Festival and Conference, and
We have a blog, a new site called Good Food on Every Table. That's just goodfoodoneverytable.org. And you can read a lot about these issues that we've been talking about.
Exactly. You need to educate yourself on this so that when you come down to the Good Food Festival and Conference, you participate.
Absolutely.
You stand up in the audience and you say, here's what I want to say.
That's it. This is an extremely interactive event. I should mention that it's family friendly. Kids 12 and under getting
free. I see lots of kids
already. Bring the family. So
all right.
It's still plenty of time to come out tonight.
Well, Bob, a pleasure. Thank you so much. And you're going to be on the show soon.
Okay,
all right?
Good. Thank you.
All right. And I see Liz over there, Fiorenza, who's going to be with us. Turned off my own mic. I didn't mean to do that. Liz Fiorenza is going to step up. Mr. Turk, are you there in the studio, sir?
I sure am. Mike, did you want to take a break?
Yeah, I was thinking we should do that right now.
Let's
roll that, and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show as part of the Helter Skelter Show on Q4 Radio, 1680 AM. Anything else you want to say, Bill?
No, you know, just back to your discussion, which is an unbelievable discussion about GMOs. I did an interview at an event, a protest 2 years ago for GMOs, and I spoke with a lady named Ruth, and she gave the best argument. This is on YouTube, by the way, and if people Google WC Turk and GMOs, it'll come up. She had been involved in the protests in 1968 and had led a very active life. But in her later years, she had developed a lot of allergies. And the reason that she needed to know what was in her food was because of those allergies. And that was one of the best arguments, clearest arguments I've heard for GMO labeling.
And we'll talk a little bit about that here, too.
Indeed.
As the show goes on today, about the health of eating well. So let's take that break, and we'll be right back with the Mike Novak Show.
Right after this.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakenings Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Did you know that Genesis is the Midwest's largest source of airbrush supplies? Find out more at ChicagoAirbrushSupply.com or artsupply.com. Stop into their showroom at 2525 North Elston and say that you heard about them on Q4 Radio and get an extra 10% off their already discount prices until the end of the month. Genesis, Chicago's only privately owned art supplier, serving all of Chicago's artistic framing and drafting needs since 1946.
Captain's log, stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report.
Inexplicable, Captain. They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf. Asparagus officinalis, or killer asparagus, was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak. I'm familiar with his work.
Mike Novak was one of the smartest, funniest people in the horticultural world of the 21st century.
Sound red alert. Shields up. Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe, author of my favorite children's stories.
Captain, I am attempting to access a copy of the masterpiece. It seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
Aroundtheblockpress.com. Aroundtheblockpress.com. Yes, Mr. Watt.
Yes, Captain. Aroundtheblockpress.com.
How many times can I say it?
Unless you've been living under a rock, like a centipede, you probably know that our pollinators are facing a lot of challenges. My friend Gene Starr has some great advice in the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine about what to do if you're interested in raising bees. It's pretty simple. Join a beekeepers association and rub elbows with folks who have done it before. The best line of her article is this: you've never smelled honey until you've been to a clover hive that has just been harvested. But come on, most of you grab this issue because it comes with the 2016 Resource Guide, which is a handy booklet about everything horticultural in the Chicago area. Or you might grab it because of my column on the inside back page, but who's kidding whom? Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, a publication of State by State Gardening Magazines. Go to chicagolandgardening.com. But if you're in other parts of the Midwest or the South, try one of the 21 magazines in those regions by going to statebystategardening.com. Or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow. With Bonnie.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Q4 Radio, AM 1680. W.C. Turk is there at the studio. I'm here at the Good Food Festival and Conference at the UIC Forum in Chicago. As Bob Benenson said, come on down. There's hours left of this, and for a really great price, you're going to have a lot of fun and learn a lot about food. We're here till 1 o'clock, live. And again, thank you, Mr. Turk, for allowing me to preempt your program.
My pleasure. And I just have just a couple of extra intros if you're interested.
Okay. Okay. Go for the couple of extra intros.
Let's say if Mike Novak was running for president, his green would be way bigger than Donald Trump's. How about if green was a religion, Mike Novak would be Pope.
Yeah, okay.
How many Mike Novaks does it take to change a light bulb? None. He uses solar. If Mike Novak was actually Edgar Allan Poe, just like the commercial says, the poem The Raven would have references to scarecrows and compost.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
You were stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I had limericks and everything, and we just got silly.
Well, I'm happy to say here, standing next to me, and she's been really patient. I even handed her my phone, and I made her take photos. is Liz Fiorenza, RN, and she's with WindRidgeHerbFarm.com. Actually, it's just WindRidgeHerbFarm, and if you add the .com, you can go to the website. And Bill, you had mentioned that this is stuff that you're interested in. Well, this is the woman to talk to. Hi, Liz.
Hi, how are you?
I would put that mic much closer, okay? And I'm going to make you use that there, okay? This is part interview, part guilt trip.
Nope.
Because she wrote to me last year and said, when are we going to do something? And I said, oh, we'll do something soon. And then nothing happened. That's my fault. I apologize.
That's okay.
Put that right up to your mouth. I'm going to make you do it.
Or I can just start yelling.
There you go. You could start yelling, too. That works for me. I note that you grow over 400 varieties of culinary, however you decide to pronounce it, and medicinal herbs without the use of chemical fertilizers.
Or any pesticides or GMO products.
That's a really good question. I don't think I've heard of herbs, GMO herbs. Are they out there?
Well, a lot of the seeds, you know, have been modified to some extent for disease and pest resistance. So we make sure that everything that we start with is as clean and pure as possible and as genetically pure to the plant as it can be.
Uh-huh.
So we start everything. All of our seeds are non-irradiated. All of our plant material is organic. We don't use any cuttings off of anything for the couple of years that it takes to get all of the toxins or whatever out of its system from wherever it came from. So,
well, how do you know this? I mean, how can you, you know, how do you source that so you know what you're dealing with?
Well, as far as the seeds go, I make sure I buy my seeds from a reputable company that I know.
Of course. Yeah, that's where it starts.
Exactly. I don't just
But you were talking about cuttings too.
Right. Well, I get my plants from places where I know kind of how they grow their plants. There's a lot of places now that for places like us that buy large volumes of some plant stock that we can't get anywhere else, they do have organic greenhouse places that I can order the stuff from so that I know what I'm getting.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about medicinal herbs.
Yes.
What are the medicinal herbs? I mean, is every herb a medicinal herb to some degree?
They are. Even your culinary herbs like oregano, thyme, basil, all have medicinal properties, and they were used traditionally, you know, as well as a culinary herb. So people don't realize that by adding some things to their food, they're getting extra vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, they're fighting off bacteria, colds, whatever. So we do a lot of education on the medicinal properties of culinary herbs. We're coming out with a new line of fresh cut culinary herbs, but on our packaging we have healthful benefits so that people will maybe be a little more attuned to, you know, well, I can throw this in my dinner tonight, but it's also going to help me with maybe some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's digestion or it's, you know, a whole gamut of things.
Now, retail, wholesale, both?
We're mostly wholesale. We do open the farm up a couple of weekends in May for our annual plant sale. So we're open 3 days of the week over the weekend. And it's usually Mother's Day weekend and then the weekend after that because our last frost date is supposedly around May 15th. But, you know, it kind of depends on the year. But and then we have our other products are located at some stores in the Chicago area and surrounding areas, too.
So where can I find your herbs? I mean, who are you selling to, and how do we know that they're Wind Ridge Herb Farm raised?
They say on our label.
Okay, that would help. Yeah.
We also have a whole line of food products that are all salt, sugar, gluten, and allergen free.
Really?
So we have, we have a line of teas, we have seasonings, we have some dips, we have vinegars.
So you're not just selling the packaged herbs, you're producing these products as
right.
well.
We grow all of this on our farm. We grow what we can on our farm. Obviously, I can't grow black pepper or I can't grow some citrus fruits, but those things we source as local and as organic as possible. But all of the other ingredients we harvest, we dry, we add it to our products, and then see, because my background is medical, and I've always been trying to produce and have available a healthier option for people. Mm-hmm. Diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, all these things are just rampant right now. And so by offering hopefully a healthier alternative to some of the things that are out there, I can still give people the opportunity to eat good tasting food that's locally produced and without all of the bad health benefits.
One of the things that I've learned about herbs, and I want you to let me know if this is correct, and it's probably variable. It probably doesn't apply to all herbs, mm-hmm. but I've read in the past that some herbs actually don't like rich soil, that they produce better flavor mm-hmm. And resins in thinner soil. So you're nodding and saying that that's correct.
The people think that herbs need to be in really heavily amended, you know, rich soil, but it's actually the opposite is true.
Yay! I thought so.
You get a lot of really tall, spiky, spindly growth with very small leaves if it's too rich. Most of these plants are from arid.
So stop coddling those plants,
exactly.
Right? Your herbs.
Most of these herbs are from arid, Middle Eastern, Mediterranean countries is their origin. So they're used to sandy, rocky, dry, arid conditions, and that's what they do best. And I have stuff coming up in my gravel driveway that's seeded out there, and it's just, I think it's kind
of happy.
Yeah, it is. It's happy. And I didn't plant it there. I don't ever water my beds at home in our gardens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we plant them in the spring. What little rain we get in the spring is just enough for them, and they're good for the rest of the summer.
See, so if you want a low maintenance, but herbs, a lot of herbs, not all of them, but a lot of herbs also like a good deal of sun,
yes,
right?
Yes, but there are a lot that, even if you have a shady area or
give me a few shady herbs.
Any of your mints, catnip.
Well, you grow them in pots only, folks.
Well, or you just make sure you harvest them regularly so they don't go crazy.
Yeah, but they will anyway. You'll forget.
Hanging
and then,
baskets are really good for mints too. They do very well in a hanging planter. So, sage will grow in the shade.
You know, my rule of thumb about mint is friends don't let friends plant mint.
Well, that's probably a good thing. That's probably
at least in the ground. You should say in the ground. Anyway, so go ahead. There were a couple of more you want to get on. Then I need to move on to Alex, who's hanging out here and waiting.
We've got, like I said, chives. A lot of them will grow in the shade. They just won't get as big.
Yeah.
So you can plant them there.
I have grown chives and allium, chive-like alliums mm-hmm. in partial sun, and they seem to do okay.
Right. They do.
Yeah.
Some of them only need 6 hours of sun a day, most of them. So if you can get...
Well, they're not getting that in my yard, but...
Right. Nasturtiums will grow in the shade. Tarragon will grow in the
And you can eat the flowers, as
exactly,
we all know, from nasturtiums.
And a lot of the herbs are perennial, so you don't have to plant them every year.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you want to learn more about this, again, the website is...
Wind Ridge Herb Farm. We're located over by Rockford.
And how many acres do you have?
We only have 8.
Don't need much for herbs, no.
They're very prolific. They keep coming back every time you cut them back. So, you know, you don't need
them. I think we found the secret to lazy gardeners.
Yes.
It's like plant herbs.
You don't have to plant them every year. Not all of them, but
a lot of them will reproduce from their seed.
Exactly.
So, you don't even have to worry about it.
And if you don't have a yard, they grow great in pots on a deck or in your house.
Because you don't have to worry about overwatering them and putting that heavy soil in there. Yeah,
exactly.
No, this is great stuff. All right, it's fabulous talking to you. Thanks, Liz Fiorenza. And if you want to come down to the Good Food Festival, you got a booth here.
We got a booth here.
And they will explain everything.
We got lots of samples out, so here's your chance to try things. So come on down.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
And now I can sleep at night knowing that I have fulfilled my promise to talk to you. We'll do it again. I'll have you back on the show. Alex, come on over here. Alex DeSorbo Quinn, it's such a pleasure to meet you.
It's great to meet you.
And she is the executive director of Pilot Light, which is responsible for leading development of, you're responsible for leading Pilot Light's vision and strategic goals about teaching kids about mm-hmm. good eating, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. We Pilot Light is it's based here in Chicago, and it was founded by some pretty well known Chicago chefs, including Paul Kahn, who's here
who's the chef of the year. Right?
Yep, he's about to get a big award.
Am I keeping you from that? No, you got a presentation at 12:15 or something.
Yeah, we're doing that too. Yeah. So after he gets his big award, he's going to be making some delicious farmer's cheese with publican bread and hazelnuts.
That's not Republican. Apples. Not Republican bread.
No.
Publican bread. Okay.
Publican,
okay.
The restaurant.
Okay, just making sure. Okay.
Yeah. And then Josh Culp and Christine Sikowski from Honey Butter Fried Chicken will be, they're also our Pilot Light chefs, and they'll be doing a demonstration where they're making a blueberry dump cake. But Pilot Light, Paul is one of the founders, along with Matthias Mergis, who's the chef at Billy Sunday and You Show in A10. Also Jason Hamill, the chef and owner at Lula Cafe.
Right.
And
that's in my neck of the woods. I'm a Logan Square guy.
Yeah. They're all delicious. Yeah. Spots. The chefs really wanted to bring the language of food back to kids. They saw that both in schools and around the family table, kids just weren't learning about food in the way that they used to in the past. And they were inspired by the First Lady's Chefs Move to Schools campaign and Let's Move, all about increasing physical activity and improving nutrition among our kids. And they were here in Chicago and sort of thought, what can we do here? And they approached a local elementary school, Disney 2 Magnet in Irving Park, and went to the principal and told her that they wanted to come in and teach the kids about food. And she welcomed them and said that it would be great if they could build it into what the kids were already learning. So if we could build food education into math, science, social studies, and English so that teachers are meeting their goals, they're meeting academic performance standards, the kids are learning what they're supposed to be, but at the same time, kids are learning about food and where it comes from and how their choices are so important for both healthier lives, but also their environments and their communities. So,
how do you integrate that? You know, you yeah. obviously were concerned making sure that folks or that the teachers are doing the curriculum that they're supposed to do. There's a lot of restrictions on that now. Mm-hmm. I know because I know teachers, I know educational writers. What was the route you took to bring the food curriculum in there?
It's incredibly challenging. You just hit the nail on the
head. It wasn't easy. All right.
No, it wasn't easy at all. It started out where the chefs would partner with teachers and find out what the kids were learning at that time and go into the classroom and teach lessons. When we sort of thought about expanding and scaling beyond one school, the challenge was, you know, what are teachers teaching in all of these different schools? How do we develop curriculum that fits their needs, that fits within their existing curriculum? And what we ended up doing was sort of looking to the Chicago Public School content frameworks, which are sort of a roadmap for curriculum throughout the year. But we also, and the Common Core, but we also, we learned along the way that developing a lesson and putting it in a teacher's hands is not, it doesn't promote investment on the part of the teachers in that lesson. So really, as our program has evolved, it's become more about professional development and coaching and training for teachers about teaching through food, building their own curriculum in partnership with a chef. Really ultimately not only improving kids' relationship with food through that, but improving educational outcomes and the teachers' teaching practices so that we're seeing sort of these dual goals of education and food and
okay,
healthier
so,
choices.
So, and by the way, we're talking to Alex DeSorbo Quinn, who's the executive director of Pilot Light. So how does that relate to, you know, Pilot Light? What do you do to keep this going, and how do you get the word out?
Right now, if you're a teacher or a parent or you work at a school and you want your school to be part of the program, we have applications opening on our website, pilotlightchefs.org. It's on April 5th. So you can
pilotlightchefs.org. And light is spelled the traditional way,
L-I-G-H-T,
because you never know. Everybody's going to do L-I-T-E in there.
And it's chefs plural.
Okay. All right. Pilotlightchefs.org.
Okay. Yep. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all, again, at Pilot Light Chefs.
Okay.
And we have special events coming up throughout the year. We have an event coming up on April 16th called Passport to Pilot Light, which we'll be back in your neck of the woods in Logan Square. We have over 10 bars and restaurants serving special items throughout the day.
Wow.
For Pilot Light.
Where?
The restaurants.
No, where was the event going to be?
In Logan Square. So it's all different participating restaurants.
You go
so it's sort of like a crawl. Yeah, you can go around and we'll be giving out prizes and we'll be giving out discounted tickets to our Feed Your Mind benefit. The more places that you stop, you'll get a passport stamped. You can visit our website to learn more about that.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Everyone should definitely come out. And we also have our Feed Your Mind benefit on October 7th, which we bring in about 30 chefs from across the city, really talented chefs, and there's so much delicious food. It's a really great night, and it's all to promote expansion of our program and to reaching more teachers and more kids and more schools. So.
Well, congratulations. Thank you for stopping by. I don't want to hold you here because I know you got to get going and you got to do your presentation.
Thanks for having me.
Again, if folks want more information, they can go to and by the way, Pilot, P-I-L-O-T, lightchefs.com.
Dot org.
Pilotlightchefs.org or go to Pilot Light Chefs on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And you'll find it all. Alex DeSorbo Quinn, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Mike.
It's a pleasure meeting you.
Great meeting you.
Mr. Turk, are you over there?
I am right here, Mike.
Okay, well, we're at the top of the hour here.
I know.
And we managed to get through it for the first hour.
Your guest is going to cost me a lot of money, buddy.
What's going to cost you?
My wife is going everything that she was talking about. Both of you guys were talking about my wife is going to take completely to heart. And I see a big restructuring of the garden coming up this spring. So thank you very much in advance for that.
And you're saying it in the way that most people say thanks, Obama, right?
No, actually, you know, I think what we've been making a lot of rookie mistakes, and that discussion was really, really critical and important to helping us get the most out of our gardens. So that's why I tune in, man.
You know, but I was really glad because it's this little tidbit of knowledge I've had, and I don't know where I picked it up many years ago. So to actually ask Liz Fiorenza. Is it really true that you want lean soil for your mm-hmm. herbs and mm-hmm. really treat them with a bit of neglect? And she said, yeah, that's how it works. It's nice to hear. I feel validated, unlike the validation that I get when I have a parking ticket, but different kind of validation.
But that's why I tune in. You know, it's guests like that and Beth Botts and all the great guests that you have on the show as we move into gardening season, but all year round, as in the case with Beth Botts and her book, this is...
Which I should get you a copy of. I bet I could scam a copy for you.
It would be our second Bible in the house. I can tell you that, my friend.
Okay. All right. Let's get into that big second hour. You've got something to play there, and I will return to the Good Food Festival and Conference at the UIC Forum. So take it away, Mr. Turk.
Fantastic. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to AM 1680 Q4 Radio and the Mike Novak Show coming to you live from the UIC Good Food Festival. We'll be right back after this.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
You thought you had tuned into the Helter Skelter show with W.C. Turk, but instead you find yourself listening to some guy talk about free-range slugs and how good they are for your garden. This ain't your mother's Saturday afternoon radio.
It's the Mike Novak Show, broadcasting live from the 2016 Good Food Festival and Conference at the UIC Forum in Chicago. Once again, because Bill has no control over his own program, here's me, Mike Novak.
They're live in the studio right now playing this out.
Oh, I wish I'd known that. I'd come to the studio to see the
Yeah, we pour all of our money into bumpers. We bring the actual artist in. <so. laughs>
No wonder you don't have any money left over for me. Because
yeah.
It's all in the bump music, huh? All right. Letting folks know it's the second hour here of the Helter Skelter Show, but it has been taken hostage by the Mike Novak Show. I'm imagining that you are exhibiting symptoms of Stockholm Syndrome right now, aren't you?
Or Admiral Stockton Syndrome, in which I just, you know, have forgotten what I was going to talk about anyways, so I don't know. That was
I'm just saying.
Bad and a very old joke.
Okay. Now, I have to ask you.
Yes.
I think you did mention earlier that your wife has tried kombucha.
Yes, she takes kombucha regularly. She suffers from fibromyalgia, by the way. So she uses a lot of home remedies and holistic and health food remedies in order to mitigate some of the issues that she has with fibromyalgia and lupus.
That's interesting because we've got a person right now who might have a comment or two about that, and that's Hannah Crum from Kombucha Camp and the author of The Big Book of Kombucha. And today at 1:30, she's doing a seminar, Brew Your Own Kombucha.
And I'm going to be doing that with some of my good friends from Nisala Kombucha and Karma Kombucha and Big Book of Kombucha co-author Alex. So we're really excited to be presenting about kombucha to the masses.
Well, and one of the masses is Bill there at the studio. What should he and his wife know about kombucha vis-a-vis lupus and fibromyalgia?
Absolutely. Well, so first of all, kombucha is fermented tea. So just like yogurt is fermented milk, we think of kombucha as kind of the 21st century yogurt in the sense that you might remember way back when, Mike, when the only people making yogurt were hippies in the 60s.
It's
and
true.
It was old people in the mountains who ate it to live to 100. And now look, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. So kombucha is kind of following that similar trajectory. And in terms of health benefits, as you mentioned, it's tea-based, right? So tea, as we already know, is high in polyphenols, antioxidants, vitamins.
Well,
so
maybe you know that, but
well, it's the most popular beverage in the world besides water. So
I hadn't thought about that, but it is, isn't
it? Yeah, every culture drinks tea.
You know, because it's easy to produce. You take a leaf and you
put
steep
it in the water.
Yeah,
I know, it's easy.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's how easy it is to make kombucha at home. You just add a little sugar to that. You throw in our culture. Our culture is called a SCOBY. That's an acronym for symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast.
And I kept looking at it and you know, was going Scooby. No, it's not Scooby. Don't go down that road. Please don't go down.
Some people call it that, but SCOBY is what we call it. It's also called a mother. But we put that into that sweet tea, and it ferments it into this tangy, delicious beverage with these healthy organic acids. And some of these acids bond to toxic molecules in the liver and remove them from the body. So instead of being trapped in your fat, you get rid of them very easily. And that's part of what brings the body back into balance so it can heal itself. So if I were to read to you the laundry list of symptoms it purportedly helps with, you'd think this stuff was snake oil.
I might. And that leads me down this road. Glad you said that because I'm doing a little research on this. And there are places that say there's no scientific evidence that kombucha works. Well, and what do you say about that?
I say kombucha has been studied for over 150 years. And one of the awesome parts of the book is we have an entire appendix that indicates specific studies dealing with the different symptoms that people have dealt with. We have over 180 studies. And in fact, Kombucha Camp, our website, is about to launch a kombucha research portal. So for those.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So for those who are wanting more of that information, more of those details, you'll be able to just type in a few keywords and pull up the research. So the research is happening, maybe not as much here in the U.S., but in countries all over the world. So China, Iran, Korea, India, all kinds of places are studying. Serbia, studying kombucha.
So, so
and
the deal in the United
work.
States is that it's, is it harder to get researchers to focus on kombucha here in the
Not
States?
Not as much anymore. I think especially with the Human Microbiome Project, as we're starting to realize how vital it is. We have healthy bacteria and yeast inside of our bodies and in our environment. This is part of what's driving that movement to getting people outdoors and digging in the dirt, connecting with the bacteria in their soil, and eating probiotic foods and all kinds of fermented foods. I think this is all coming back full circle to the way that we used to eat and live with nature.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, especially when you're talking about soil. And for so many years, we went in the wrong direction. We were terrified of soil, and people still are. People are terrified of dirt. And anybody who's a gardener knows that one of the most satisfying exercises is to plunge your hand into a compost pile that has, you know, not after you just put in the slimy vegetables,
a well composted pile. Smells amazing.
It does. And yes. and if you know anything about the soil food web, and I teach about that and mm-hmm. tell people about that, the idea that you take a teaspoon of that and it's got billions of organisms in there that you're never going to see. You don't know what's there. You might see a worm, you might see a roly-poly, you might see something else, and people go, ew, bugs. And I say, no, they're doing their jobs. They are creating. There's all this biology. Why does a compost pile steam? Mm-hmm. Because of the biology in there. It's making it, they're doing their jobs and eating it all up and creating health.
So take that metaphor into your gut. Your gut is your soil. That's your internal soil. And so you need to cultivate your inner terroir as much as we need to be focusing on the outer terroir. And this is where fermented foods, which humans have consumed since the dawn of time, comes back into play. We live in an anomaly right now where we don't consume fermented foods with every meal, but sauerkraut, kimchi, kvass, yogurt, kefir, kombucha, all of these foods, your salsas, your chutneys, these were originally fermented condiments that you had with every meal. And so, you know, it's not about just drinking kombucha. It's about getting a variety of these, just like it's getting a variety of inputs into the soil so that you're nutrifying at that bacterial level.
I like your slogan, changing the world one gut at a time. That makes sense. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, just again, if we're the microcosm of the macrocosm, if we can create inner peace in this one universe, that we hope that people will then feel inspired to take that out into the world. And in fact, we also co-founded Kombucha Brewers International, which is the trade association representing the bottled beverage industry. And many of the folks who are making this stuff and brewing it locally and commercially, they experienced a health challenge. Kombucha helped. That they were so invigorated by that process, they wanted to share it with their community. So if anyone is looking to get into a new field, fermentation is where it's at. Whether that's sauerkraut or whatever, you can work with your local farmers.
There's other things that are fermented, okay? And I know there's a lot of people interested in those products. But there's different kinds of fermentation, obviously.
Exactly right, yes.
So what about flavors? I mean, when you talk about kombucha.
Well, there's so many flavors. Our book has 270 flavor inspirations. So
by the way, you should know, let's give her a plug for the book because it's the big book of kombucha. And how can folks get a copy of that?
The best way is to go to your local bookstore, help promote your local community, and ask for it there. If they don't have it, you certainly can find it on Amazon. And then, of course, our website, kombuchacamp.com, camp with a K, because we're cute and clever, is another great place where you can find it as well.
Okay, but back to flavors.
Yes. So it's incredibly creative. Because it's essentially an acetic acid ferment, but it's much milder than a traditional vinegar, it will extract the nutritional properties from whatever you're infusing into it. And so ginger happens to be one of the most popular flavors. It's like a natural or traditional ginger ale, but you can get super creative. I've made bacon kombucha. I've made kombuchas with herbs from my garden, so rosemary, lavender, thyme.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, that would make sense. All right, now we're coming full circle here because we were talking about growing herbs earlier, and now here's a good use for those. And as Liz pointed out, pretty much every herb has medicinal qualities.
And we've always, as human beings, looked to those herbs. We turn them into traditionally fermented drinks. We created flower waters and things. We have a long history of consuming our plant friends. And so, again, we're
that
kind
seems
of
rude, doesn't it?
It's, not at all. That's what they're here to do.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
They
right.
love this process. They like supporting us.
But they sometimes scream as you put them into the blender.
Well,
but
that's
other
all.
Than,
yeah.
But they grow back.
I can hear their cries for help from the smoothie mix.
So you know? What do you eat?
That's true. I'm wondering what I'm putting in there now. Nah, the cucumbers are actually quite happy to give up their
Well, and that's
skins.
The thing is that this is what they're here for. You know, that we propagate them, and that's the trade-off, is they get to survive as a species because they provide value to us, and that's part of that mutually beneficial relationship. But our culture is in symbiosis, but we say symbiosis does not necessarily mean kumbaya. It means healthy competition. And so when you have great diversity, that's what holds everything in balance. I mean, you know, nature, if you look outside, you know, nature loves diversity. It's all about diversity.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And it's that monocropping, that mono culture that ends up being weaker and more detrimental than when we are in diversity.
Well, let's take it back to the soil. All right. And again, if you look at the soil food web, and for instance, nematodes. There are good nematodes and there are bad nematodes, and there are nematodes that can attack your plants and there are nematodes that are good to your plants. And if your soil is in balance and you have all of the organisms necessary and you haven't messed with it with chemicals or bad practices, then everything's in balance and things grow well, and you often do not have those pathogen problems because they're kept in check.
Well, and so think about this.
You're saying the same thing for your gut.
Same thing in your body, exactly, yeah. Right. Well, if pathogens were so dominant, we'd already be dead because they would have taken over. And so clearly we have far more allies in the bacterial world than we realize. And so, again, our fermented foods, kombucha being one of them, is a great way for us to put those healthy inputs into the soil of our gut so that we flourish as an organism. We're kind of taught that we are not regenerative beings, and in fact, that's the opposite. Our bodies regenerate new cells all the time. The problem is we currently live in a culture where we've got toxins in the water, toxins in the food supply, toxins in the air,
yeah.
And our bodies are literally freaking out. And this is why we see this huge rise of autoimmune disease and metabolic disease, and that's why I really feel like kombucha...
And maybe autism and things like that?
Exactly right. A lot of these things are being shown to be due to gut imbalances, to having not enough diversity in the gut. And so when we re-embrace these old friends of ours, these traditional fermented foods, we find we thrive. We feel so much better. And au contraire to what we're told, we don't necessarily have to be on those drugs forever. But as our body begins to heal, we can start to let go of some of those pills that only treat symptoms.
Well, that is Hannah Crum, and she's the author of the big book of Kombucha. And she's speaking here at the Good Food Festival and Conference at the UIC Forum today from 1:30 to 2:30. Brew your own, working with fermentation. You're quite entertaining.
Oh, well, so are you. I think nature loves diversity, and we're a couple diverse organisms right here.
I believe we are.
Well, here, now you've got to give it a try.
Oh, okay.
You've got to try it on air and tell us what you think.
Oh, boy.
Did you hear that little fizz?
Yeah, a little.
There we go.
Okay.
This is a juniper rose.
That's really good.
And there's a flavor for everyone.
Can I have a little more?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to get this on camera here. Okay. I really like that.
Right?
Mike, really you've like never that. Had kombucha
exactly.
before?
Wait, no, that's Bill in the studio.
Yes.
Oh, hey, Bill.
Hey.
What were you asking?
I was asking you, have you never had kombucha before?
That was first time ever.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And
first time ever.
Hey, Bill, is your wife brewing at home, or she's just grabbing it from the store?
I can guarantee you after hearing this, she will be – she tried it once and then got away from it. She's been buying it in the store. But I think she had her best results with brewing it at home. It's just gotten away from her. But I think you're more than likely you have re-inspired her.
Wonderful.
And I'm
well,
waiting
an
for the text
flow.
To come across
yeah,
at any time.
Well, let's say that she wants to do this. What's the first step for her to get on the brewing bandwagon?
Well, if you go to kombuchacamp.com/DIY, we have a free recipe and ebook. That will get you started right away while you're waiting for your book to arrive, of course. And then it's a really simple process. We have all of the supplies available to you, of course, or you can find a culture from a friend in the neighborhood. You'd be surprised. Once you kind of hear this word kombucha, it suddenly appears everywhere in your consciousness. But it's
in
so
your
easy.
Dreams, too.
Exactly. Right. It's so easy to make and easy to brew and very creative. So once you have the supplies, all you need is tea and sugar.
So how do I scam a little of this before you leave today? You got any more bottles of that
stuff? Well, I do. Yeah, absolutely. Here at the Good Food Fest, we have a couple of kombucha vendors. So you're welcome to come by and sample all their brews.
Karma Kombucha out of Mundelein. We have Paula here from Wisconsin.
You don't have a booth.
Oh, no.
Yourself.
So because we don't sell a commercial product right now. We used
you
to
just teach
in LA.
About it.
That's exactly. Well, not just. We also have the
Those
Trade
who can't
Association.
Do teach? Is that how that
works? Wow. No, we're master kidding. Brewers.
Of course. All right. No, that's great.
And then we also consult for the industry and we sell supplies and all kinds of great things. So Okay. We get everybody started on I'm a mother to mazillions of bacteria around the world.
You're an enabler is what you are, which is a good thing. And I mean it in a good way.
We're enabling you to get back in touch with your good bugs.
You get the mess out. You're the messenger. So don't shoot the messenger, okay, is what I'm saying here. And you know, if it's all that good, as I just drank, I'm in. That's cool.
Well, everyone is unique. They all have a different flavor profile. It's actually quite similar to wine or craft beer in that you can have, you know, several different Pinot Noirs or several different Hefeweizens, and they all have a unique flavor profile based on the brewer's ingredients, their style, what they do. So it's really fun. So some of you out there might have tried kombucha and thought, this isn't for me. Go ahead and try another one.
Yeah, try something. I guarantee if you drank what I just drank, you would be on board. That's good stuff. And now, whose kombucha is that?
So this one is from Nisala. They're out of Madison, Wisconsin, but you can find their products all over the Midwest. And their stuff is very delicious. And then there's also Karma. Theirs tends to be a nice, easy sipping kombucha. So if you're a total newbie and just want to give it a try, you might give theirs a try.
So it's milder? Is that the idea?
A little bit, yeah. So they each have different kind of flavor profiles. Now, truthfully, I'm a sour girl, so if you get it nice and tangy and tart.
You're a sweetie.
Well, that's what makes me sweet is I eat my sour and I eat my bitter.
Okay.
If I had to eat too much sugar, I'd be cranky.
and you'd be all – well, you're already energetic. You don't need any more sugar, that's for sure.
Well, it comes from the B vitamins in the yeast. So it's the kombucha gives you energy because it improves your digestion. You get those B vitamins in a living form. It does have appreciable amounts of B12. Many brands are testing and showing that they do have that present, which is a tough B vitamin to get, especially
if you're
not consuming animal products.
My doctor keeps telling me that. It's like, dude, get some more B12.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
And call me in the morning.
What is this? What have we got here? Tim Magner just taking advantage of me. I'm not sure. Where's this going to show up? Okay, well, hold it here so we can get that on there. I'm being scammed here somehow. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Get out of here, Tim. All right. Wait. 2 seconds. Get over here. Give me 2 seconds on Nature's Farm Camp.
Hi, it's an overnight summer camp for kids ages 8 to 14. Happens on a farm a couple hours southwest of Chicago where kids grow, cook, explore, and create.
There we go. Oh, and to find out about it, they go to
naturesfarmcamp.com.
There you go.
They also repopulate their microbiomes by getting up close with nature. And
exactly.
Are there animals there too?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
huge.
A ton of farm animals.
All right, it's time to repopulate my biome here. I've got other people to talk to. So
so fun. I hate to hog the mic, but it's been fun with
you, Mike. No, we could do this. I know that's that nobody's ever said that before. I'm sorry. Hannah Crum, you're wonderful. You're a delight. Thank you so much for stopping.
And I'll leave this here
Mike,
for you to enjoy.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. Yes. Yeah, Bill.
Hey, Mike, the one thing that I'd love to say is since we've got a couple of more cameras in the studio, anytime somebody wants to come by, people would be able to actually see what you're drinking or sampling or doing here. So,
which
for some of us could get us in trouble. But for something like kombucha, you know, that they can actually see the color and, actually see it.
You know what it looks like? It looks like tea. It is tea.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a brown liquid in a jar, and it tastes really good. So, maybe it's doing good stuff for my gut. At least that's what Hannah says. So, I think you're right. Bill, that your wife is probably going to climb on board that wagon right away.
I already got the text.
Okay. This is the Mike Novak Show, preempting the Helter Skelter Show on Q4 Radio. For you folks listening out here, you don't know what Q4 is? Well, just go to q4.org and find out. And we're also on the TuneIn app.
I hope you listen to the wide range of shows on there. What's coming up today, Bill?
Coming up right after this is Flabby Hoffman's Radio Extravaganza. So if you want to know what's going on the comedy scene and music, we have a spoken word and entertainment all across the city of Chicago. This is the place to be from 1 until 4, followed by a little taste of India with Radio Panipuri and the amazing and the lovely Pramila Kumar. That's coming up from 4 until 5, followed by Bottoms of the Barrel with our own Thomas Bottoms, a little bit of comedy, a little bit of club music, a little bit of Thomas's just crazy, insane trivia knowledge, which is astounding in its own right. And then after that, from 7 until 9, Magic Radio Chicago for all of you who are friends and fans of the Zodiac and the occult.
I need to move on here because standing next to me is David Miller, who's the CEO and founder of Iroquois Valley Farms. David, it's good to see you again.
Hi, Mike. Good to be back.
It's been a while since you've been on the show, and it's got to be like, what, 3 or 4 years?
I'd say it's probably been 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And back when I was at Progresso Radio. And Iroquois Valley Farms, we talked about this earlier on the show today, about what you're doing. You're bringing finance to the organic movement, you know, and which is good because that's what the Good Food Festival and Conference does too. It tries to educate people as to how does the finance work. Everybody, you know, it's one thing to put a seed in the ground and grow it, and it's another to make it a business. And one of the issues has been, where do you get the land? How do you get people behind you? And that's kind of what you're involved in, isn't it?
Well, we started the company 10 years ago to provide capital to mostly young organic farmers that wanted to expand their business. And at that time, there was certainly activity, but in 10 years now, the activity has tremendously grown. So
you've been very successful, haven't you?
Well, we've been busy. In fact, last year we started to say we can't keep up with the demand by young farmers for more land, you know, to grow healthy foods. So that is skyrocketing. We're buying a farm about every other month. We probably could be buying a month. So raising capital is a big deal, and that was something that an issue came up on your show 3 years ago, and we're addressing that now.
Oh, okay, and here's the issue. Here's the issue. Dave came on my show, and I said, I love what you're doing. You're buying farms. You're finding farmers, you know, so that the farmland doesn't turn into a development and it doesn't go back to, you know, commodity stuff, the corn and soybeans racket.
Monoculture.
Monocultures.
Yeah, we're transitioning to monoculture.
Transitioning them. And I said, how do I invest? He said, well, you really can't at the moment. He said, well, what are you worth?
Accredited investor.
You had to be accredited. And what's accredited? Give me a break.
Well, the SEC hasn't changed that. The accredited investor is you have $1 million in net worth or you have income of $200,000 a year. So you're deemed worthy to buy a private company stock or local.
That gets my hackles up.
Yes.
It's like,
well,
you know,
it's patently unfair. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad you understand that.
Oh, no.
But those are the people you had to work with.
We
right?
say that we've lived within the confinement of the SEC now for 10 years. Uh-huh. And now they've opened a wormhole in the rules.
To another dimension.
Through it, to a non accredited dimension. This is my son over here.
Oh, so, hi. What's your Joe, right? Hey, Joe, nice to meet you.
So we're going to jump through this wormhole, and this will now we'll come out with an offering middle part of the year. And so at that time, that offering for either our stock or our bonds will be open to everybody.
Meaning any investor.
Any investor, right.
Now, how do you – okay, let's say somebody – believes in organic farms, doesn't have a lot of money, has a little bit to play with, so they want to invest in something. How do they incorporate this into their portfolio?
Well, very, very few people in this country have any exposure to organic farmland or, let's just say, healthy farmland, young farmers growing their businesses. Because when you buy stock in our company, you're not only buying effectively the land, but you're also buying a piece of the business of each one of these farmers because they share some of their revenues with the company over time. So it's a double down here. You have the land, and then you have a piece of their business. So that's
really
that's
so
growing
if they do
income.
Well, that you're doing well.
Absolutely, that's the whole idea. So that's how we set the leases.
I like
up.
That idea.
So income as they grow their businesses, they grow income. We start increasing dividends to the shareholders. And we just announced our first dividend this year.
After 10 years?
After 10 years. So it's a long process.
Is that typical of business propositions, or is this a little longer than most?
I would say it's longer than most, but it's more sustainable because organic farmers are diversified, unlike the monoculture, which is not.
Yeah.
So as you diversify, you're minimizing the risk, you're stabilizing the returns, and over time, that means you have a sustainable business. So you're growing your business, and that's the way it used to be, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and the idea, and this is why I was so frustrated, because I run into Dave, you know, over the years. I've seen you probably a half a dozen times at various things, or you've written to me, or I've written to you or something, and I kept saying, okay, get back to me when the average investor can get involved in this. And then finally, I saw you recently, and you said, the time is here.
Yes. So in the middle part of the year, we'll have this offering out. And we say that it's only socially just. We say it's going to enable the millennial investors, the millennial generation, to invest in the change that needs to happen.
Right. And in some of the information you handed me, I like this soil, not oil. What's that about?
Well, we view commodity agriculture as sort of the same way as we view the oil industry, the gas industry, the coal industry. It's an extractive industry. So restoring soil.
It shouldn't be, though. It should be that when you're growing things, the saying is make the land better than you found it.
Right.
So have it more.
And that's what our farmers do.
We have never done that.
No, that's what our farmers do.
But your farmers do that.
We require in the lease agreement that the farmers be organic, that they certify the land organic. So it's a restorative, it's a regenerative agriculture. So that over time means more income. It's more productive and the input costs are lower.
Mm-hmm.
So you're building a bigger income stream just by diversifying and being healthy.
You're laughing about it, but it's genius. You know,
maybe it's common sense. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. And so you're enabling people to do this. And so it sounds like win, 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 because it's about investing and getting a return on it and allowing farmers to do their thing. It's about improving the soil that has been degradate over the years, because not a lot of this land, I imagine, that you're turning into organic farms has not been organic.
Oh, no. Yeah, we when we purchase land, it's always conventionally, chemically farmed for the last 60 years. So
it's nasty. Yeah.
It's dead.
Yeah.
And our farmers bring it back to life. So, you know, our investors.
I like that business model.
Well, you know,
that's a great business model.
Living soils and plants also breathe more carbon. So what's increasingly now being known is that the fastest way we're going to get carbon back out of the atmosphere is through organic farming.
Fabulous.
So that's another impact that you get.
So if folks want to get involved and they want to invest in Iroquois Valley Farms, how do they do that? Well, you said this offering is going to happen mid-year.
Right. You want to get on our mailing list, go to our website. It's my name, David Miller, dmiller@iroquoisvalleyfarms.com.
And it's that simple. D. Miller at Iroquois Valley Farms. And if you don't know how to spell Iroquois, well,
that's right.
That's right. It's Iroquois, as in the Native Americans.
That's correct.
Iroquois Valley Farms. Well, David, I'm glad this finally happened and that I was able to put you back on my show.
We look forward to your investment, Mike.
You know, I am. I'm looking into this. And actually, I want to do some shows about divesting from the fossil fuels and that sort of thing.
We're the reinvestment choice. We're a reinvestment choice.
So first you divest from the fossil fuel industry and you reinvest
into sustainable agriculture companies like us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are there others like you out there, or are you it right now?
There's not too many. Not too many people do it as a company. So there's not many choices, but there's going to be more and more choices because this changeover is big.
Uh-huh. It is.
Yes.
It's a game changer.
It is.
And you're at the forefront of it. David Miller, always a pleasure talking to you.
Same here. Thank you, Mike.
Bill Turk, we need to take a little break here and then return to the Good Food Festival and Conference. Are you ready to rock and roll over there?
I am standing by, my friend.
All right, let's do it, and we will be back right after this on The Mike Novak Show on Q4 AM Radio 1680.
It's not just your garden.
It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow with Bonnie.
Unless you've been living under a rock, like a centipede, you probably know that our pollinators are facing a lot of challenges. My friend Gene Starr has some great advice in the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine about what to do if you're interested in raising bees. It's pretty simple. Join a beekeepers association and rub elbows with folks who have done it before. The best line of her article is this: you've never smelled honey until you've been to a clover hive that has just been harvested. But come on, most of you grab this issue because it comes with the 2016 Resource Guide, which is a handy booklet about everything horticultural in the Chicago area. Or you might grab it because of my column on the inside back page, but who's kidding whom? Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, a publication of state-by-state gardening magazines. Go to chicagolandgardening.com. But if you're in other parts of the Midwest or the South, try one of the 21 magazines in those regions by going to statebystategardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have exciting news to share. Natural Awakening, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Natural Awakenings features articles about fitness, local food and drink, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. We also cover gardening and environment, sustainable building, energy conservation, and green living. We include local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that in each month's issue, you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a new business in your neighborhood, or something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Did you know that Genesis is the Midwest's largest source of airbrush supplies? Find out more at ChicagoAirbrushSupply.com or ArtSupply.com. Stop into their showroom at 2525 North Elston and say that you heard about them on Q4 Radio and get an extra 10% off their already discount prices until the end of the month. Genesis, Chicago's only privately owned art supplier, serving all of Chicago's artistic framing and drafting needs since 1946.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Everybody say. Here and listen to music.
Tell the matter to which God you pray. Precious time is slipping away.
He's so good.
It doesn't matter what route you take.
It's the Mike Novak Show. We're going to hit the home stretch here. We got about 20 minutes, and I got a bunch of people that I need to talk to here at the Good Food Festival and Conference. And let me just say, again, right away, before we get to them, is that you can come down here to the UIC Forum at Halstead and Roosevelt in Chicago. $10 gets you in a ton of stuff to see. Seminars, vendors, chef demos, gardening classes if you want to do something like that. Just it's all here. You should take advantage of it because this is the big day, the finale of the three-day festival. And
Ms. Natural Awakenings herself is over there dancing. You're going to hear her very voice on this radio show in just a few minutes. Right now, let me bring in Louis Zapp. Is it Louis or Louis?
Well,
what do you prefer?
I'm of Latino origin, so it's Luis.
Luis, but, okay.
I went to a British school when I was little, so my teachers always called me Luis. So I'm Luis.
You said that with such disdain. So there's no way I can say Luis now.
They never made the effort to pronounce it right, Luis. So I'm Luis.
Luis. I can do it. I can do that. You're with an outfit called Zaps Dancing Grains.
I'm the Zapping Zaps.
Yeah. Is that like the Dancing Itos from the O.J. Simpson trial? That was a long time ago. Remember the Dancing Itos?
Yeah, actually, there's a TV show now that is about the whole O.J. Simpson case.
So I know it. That's right. And they're probably bringing that back because I haven't watched it. You know, I lived that. I lived through it. I don't want to watch it again.
I remember watching the TV and the car driving away.
I don't want to see any of that ever again.
No, actually, our Dancing Grains, it's a little bit more romantic, thank God. Always loved the idea of a grain field just moving with the wind.
Well, Kathleen, who's standing here taking photos right now, knows that plants dance. And I talked to you about this before we went on air.
Yes.
About how we have a dancing amelanche here in our backyard. And in just a week or two, when it blooms, it will dance in the wind for us. And so when you said dancing grains, I knew exactly what you were talking about. It's just the grains, they dance in the wind. And that's just a beautiful image.
Exactly.
So it's the best product or company name I've heard today.
Oh,
so you
thank
get
you
it,
very much. Right? I really appreciate it. So what do you want to talk about today, Mike? I would love to introduce you a little bit to what I do.
Well, that's all the time we have, Luis.
Thank you so much.
No, I want you to tell your story that you told me earlier about your dad and how the business got started.
Well,
because it's a really interesting story. And this is not other people go through this, but they don't turn it into a business like this.
Well, 10 years ago, my dad got diagnosed with diabetes. And he didn't have a very good diagnosis. He's a scientist. He worked all his life with all kinds of chemicals and things. He also worked with United Nations and traveled the world. And so he's a food lover, but at the same time, his condition wouldn't allow him to get any medicine. And so the doctor basically told him that he had 2 or 3 years of good quality of life, and from then on, he couldn't guarantee anything. And he decided he wasn't going down without a fight. And he converted his house kitchen into a laboratory, brought in all kinds of equipment.
Because he's a scientist.
Exactly. And he just started researching and trying to find a way to prepare the carbohydrates that we love, but that he could eat. And the key difference is that most of the carbohydrates that we eat every day, bread, pasta, rice, you name it, they're all highly refined and they convert into sugar in your body extremely quickly. Mm-hmm. And so when you're diabetic, that's the enemy. So we wanted to find a way to prepare them the other way around so that you would eat them and they would help you stabilize your blood sugar. And one day I was visiting and he told me, here. And he put like a brick on the table and he said, this is saving my life. My numbers are great. My health is fantastic. I'm pretty much reversing my diabetes. Try it. And I tried it and it kind of felt and looked like bread, but it wasn't like the bread that we all love to eat every day. And so...
So it was good for him, but it didn't taste good.
Well, it tasted, let's say, decent. and so it kind of started ringing my ear all the time and I started thinking about it. And 2 years later, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to quit my job. I'm going to write a business plan. I'm going to go out and see if I can find an investor and I'm going to start a business around this. And that's how it happened. 4 years ago, I quit my job. It took me two and a half months.
It's like jumping off a cliff without a parachute,
Well,
isn't
thank
it?
God I have a good wife.
Okay.
We're a team. And so that's what I did. And I went through the whole process of patenting our technology because I found out it was unique. Nobody had anything. So we're probably one of the only breads in the world that are actually patented. And we did all the product.
I know I can't ask you because it's proprietary, but can you give me an idea of how
Absolutely.
It's different?
Absolutely. It's different, number one, because we use ancient varieties of wheats and barleys that are not available in the market anymore.
The ancient grain movement, though, is something that is actually happening.
Yeah.
I've heard about
Well, that's what we ate for 2 million years, and all of a sudden we just left that out and we started eating sugar.
Wonder Bread. I grew up with Wonder Bread, so there you are.
So we just have to go back to what we are designed by nature to eat, and that's what we've done. So we use those grains. We process them in-house, so we stone mill our own grains and produce our own flours just to make sure that they are the right ones. And from then on, we developed a whole cooking process and processing process that is completely natural. We don't use any preservatives, chemicals, fillers, stabilizers, anything like that. And we developed also a flavor infusion process to make our bread delicious so that people would want to eat healthy every day and eat healthy bread every day. And from the success that we're having at the show and that we've had in the market in the last year, we think that we accomplished it. So we're extremely excited to just put the word out there and have people eat our bread every day.
Wow. So where can they get it?
Well, we think we have conquered a lot of the suburbs. We're at Sunset Foods. We are at Fresh Farms. We also have an incredible relationship with Egg Harbor Cafe that is in pretty much all the suburbs. We even sell our bread in their stores in Atlanta. It was so successful on their menu that people started requesting the bread, and now we sell it. Actually, this is a restaurant that is selling our bread.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, it's like going into a coffee shop and they sell the coffee too.
Exactly.
They don't just sell you a cup of coffee, they sell you the
bag. It's very unusual, actually.
That's very interesting.
We're also with Foodies at the Water Tower Place. They have been incredible partners and they have helped us a lot. Seasonally, we are with Beatrix. And hopefully we're coming soon to a lot of stores. We've made great, great, great connections here at the Good Food Fest. And we are just dedicated this year to get into the city.
Well, where do folks go to read more about it? You got a website?
Yes. Zapps, Zapps, DancingGrains.com.
Zapps Dancing Grains.
And then if you are also interested on learning a lot more about what I call the good carb revolution, learning about good carbs, how to replace bad carbs with good carbs, I have also another website called The Good Carb Life and The 30-Day Carb Challenge. They're both the same, just different names. But you can go to number30carbchallenge.com, daycarbchallenge.com, and you'll find a ton of information on these 10 years of research and development that we've done so that you can eat a little bit healthier and have a better life.
Luis, that's a great story.
Thank you
so much for stopping by, and I'm going to come over to your booth
Absolutely.
When I'm
I really
here.
Appreciate it, and thank you for the opportunity.
No problem.
Okay.
All right, let's bring in, we're moving fast here. Jen, get over here. Jen Miller with Sand Hill Family Farms. You heard her if you were listening in the first hour for like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
But tell me a little bit. You've got a CSA, your meat, dairy, produce. I see your little card here. You've been doing this for 15 years.
Yep. It's a kind of a unique model. It's actually two farming families that work together on two farms, one in Broadhead, Wisconsin, and one in Grays Lake, Illinois. And the two of us both grow certified organic vegetables that we put together into one CSA program. So we offer the CSA throughout the Chicago suburbs and do a home delivery. And we offer beyond veggies, fruit shares, dairy shares, meat shares, and egg shares.
Now, that's quite a bit because not all farms, you know, a lot of farms are specialty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's vegetables or it happens to be poultry or it happens to be something else, but you're embracing all of that.
Yeah, we really are. We try to work with farming families that produce the things that we can't. Mm-hmm. So since we can't grow peaches, we work with Mick Klug out of St. Joe, Michigan, and he grows our peaches for our fruit share. So we really try to embrace family farms that we know and trust and bring that wonderful food on to our members.
So how many different farms do you cooperate with to put your CSAs together?
Oh, I'd say probably between 5 and 10. We source for our dairy shares from dairy creameries and dairies in Wisconsin. For our meat shares, we source from some growers and grazers up in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then our fruit share comes from Michigan.
That's also different for a CSA,
mm-hmm.
to be able to have that kind of fruit and dairy and vegetables mixed in one. So
that's true.
I imagine that not a lot of CSAs do that.
Yeah, it's a bit unique, and we try to go year-round as well. So we started offering through the winter as well, and we really try to be kind of that trusted resource for our members. We want our members to have the freshest food, and we try to connect them with those farmers and do what we can to produce the freshest food for them as well.
So are you out in the fields yourself?
Or? I am, and my husband over here and my little boy help me out in the field as well. So, yep, we're out working in the field every day. And
so what's going on right now?
Right now we're in the greenhouses. We are rebuilding our coolers. We're working on getting some hoop house things growing. So we've actually got a lot of things that are green, which is a really exciting thing right now.
Well, so tell me, because you're a farmer, you're out there. What did it mean to have a relatively mild winter? How does that change things going into the spring for you? Or does it make any difference?
Well, we were able to actually get into the fields once already. So we were knocking back some weeds and some early stale seed bedding. So we were able to get in a little bit earlier. And then it got cold again, and we got back in the greenhouses. So we are used to kind of going with the flow of the weather. And honestly, we just kind of went with the flow as we usually do. So,
Do you have cover crops out there?
We sure do. We have cover crops out there, and then we have some overwintered spinach and some overwintered onions. So we keep an eye on those things as well, as we kind of hope to see them resurge in the spring.
And how does that work with overwinter? Just, you know, they survive anyway, or just because it was a milder winter?
Nope, they survive anyway. They kind of, we planted the spinach in the fall, and then it's kind of blanketed by that snow, protected by the snow. So in the spring,
well, maybe you got snow. There wasn't a whole lot down here.
Little bit of snow, yeah. And then some of the older leaves and that have weathered the winter weather die back, and then those new green leaves come up, and they come up sweeter than ever. So it's really kind of a delicacy to have that spring spinach that's almost ready in the May April timeframe.
Yeah.
It's really unique.
Do you guys grow asparagus?
Oh yes, love asparagus.
Okay, now I'm going to have to get to your CSA and get some fresh asparagus. There's nothing like it at all.
Yeah.
Do you also, so folks want to get a CSA from you guys, how do they do that?
They can go online to our website at sandhillfamilyfarms.com, and they can sign up right online. And then we're also on social media if they want to learn more about us, on our Facebook page and our Instagram feed.
Are you in any of the farmers markets in the city?
Yep, we are at the Oak Park Farmers Market, longtime vendors there. So,
what about Logan Square?
We're not at Logan Square.
With Logan Square?
We love Logan Square.
Sure you do. Not enough to actually show up at it.
Well, we love our Oak Park Market members.
I know.
And
sure
they're good
people.
We've been there 10 years, so it's something we love doing.
Well, Jen, it's such a pleasure having you talk to me. Jen Miller, Sandhill Family Farms. Again, it's sandhillfamilyfarms.com. They're out of Broadhead, Wisconsin, and Grays Lake, Illinois. And have a great year. Have a great season.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having us.
Why don't we bring that lady over here, Peggy.
Actually, a CSA member.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder she brought you over here.
I'm waiting for my spinach.
And so folks who are listening, who are fans of the Mike Novak Show, know who this is. I think you have to say your tagline.
Hi, this is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicagoland. There you go.
Natural. Hi, I'm Peggy.
Yep. Hi.
She's the Peggy. In fact, we had a friend here who said, oh, we finally got to meet Peggy. See what she looks like, because we hear her voice all the time. Oh, this is a photo that needs
there we
to
go.
That we got, since we're doing photo op here. That
thanks,
so,
Kathleen.
Wow, did you take those, or did they all go on their own?
I moved them down.
Oh, you moved them down.
I moved them down.
But so people could see them.
So you're going to love going out to the show. There are so many fabulous vendors out there and wonderful food to sample, CSAs to sign up for. Everything, come on out this afternoon. If you haven't had a chance to get to the show, it's going till 5. Wonderful people to meet. So many things to learn about other CSAs. Band of Farmers is here. Chicago Food
As
Coalition.
As I mentioned before,
co-ops.
It's a real band.
Yep,
yes,
it's a real
are
band.
Are they playing today?
I don't know.
I don't think so. No, I think they're playing someplace else tonight. And I wish I knew exactly where and when, but oh well. But tell me a little bit about Natural Awakenings, because folks hear it advertised on my show. You've been publishing that now for how long?
6 years.
Wow.
So Natural Awakenings, we're a monthly free magazine for the Chicago area. We focus on providing resources for people on healthy living. So anything from good food, good beverages, to exercise, yoga, different conditions, helping people find ways to get healthy and stay healthy. We're not, oh, I'm sick. We're, let's get healthy. And great recipes, too. So
and we'll get healthy in a fun way,
yes, yes.
Right?
I try to.
It'll
try
be
to.
Fun.
So we distribute throughout the city, Lake County, Cook County, and McHenry County. You can find us in more than 1,100 locations. Most of the homes, a lot of independent grocery stores, libraries, bookstores, coffee shops, and unhealthy restaurants, too.
and you've expanded so over the last few years. And any more expansion plans coming up?
Just more distribution places.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of areas in the city we are not in yet. We are always looking for new distribution places. So if you can't find us, go to our website, www.nachicagonorth.com. Click on Contact Us and let me know where we should have the magazine in your neighborhood.
Okay. I think that wraps it up. Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you.
It's always great seeing you here. And Bill, we're coming in here with a three-point landing, I think.
I'm just thrilled. This went so nicely. First of all, a special thanks to you, Mike, for doing an amazing show and all the amazing guests over there. I'm just very happy.
You know, I could just stand here and hold the microphone out, and somebody interesting would walk by in about 30 seconds, and I could fill another 2 hours doing this. But I know that we've got Flabby Hoffman coming up, so I need to duck out of here.
In the meantime, I think we've got you've got another great addition to the podcast over there at MikeNovak.net.
Yeah, this is. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm going to have the podcast of this up as quickly as I can do that. But I'm going to turn it back over to you, unless you've got something else to say. All yours, Bill.
Absolutely. Thanks again to Mike Novak and all of his great guests and all the good people out there at the Good Food Festival.